Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Hoopball Nation? It's Brandon Marcus from the Hoopball Clippers podcast. We're chatting about an exciting time in Clipperland with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George looking to lead the team to an NBA title. Tune in to hear guests ranging from TV voice Brian Seaman and radio voice Noah Eagle to various beat writers and team bloggers. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Hoopball Clips and follow me at BD Marcus. Looking forward to having you tune in.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Well, Lakers basketball is officially back, and we could not be happier about it. JC, Lakers about to come back on the TV. How you feeling about it, sir?
Feeling really good. Today, didn't watch the Lakers, but I did watch Clippers, Magic, Nuggets, Wizards. I was watching a little bit of the Heat. I forgot who the Heat are playing just now. But yeah, I watched live NBA basketball today for the first time, and it was great.
It almost feels like Summer League, but just with the best players on the planet. So that's the best part about it. Welcome in. Welcome back to the Hoopball Lakers podcast. Of course, JC and Ethan here with you as usual. You can find our show on Twitter, at Hoopball Lakers, part of the at Hoopball Tweets family. And you can follow us on Twitter, JC at JCDeLeon1, and me at Ethan_Noroff, N-O-R-O-F. JC, I cannot believe that there is basketball on the TV that is not an archived recording from 1993.
Yeah.
I'm not one to watch those historic games too much. I might peek in here and there. But my thing is, man, once you've experienced something, once you've seen it, it's really hard to have that same, at least for me, it's hard to have that same anticipation, that same juice, that same adrenaline running through your system when you already know what's going to happen.
I'm the same way. Some of my friends that don't really like sports, they get surprised when they hear me say that I won't watch a game if I've missed it and once I know the score. I'll look at the stats, I'll look at the highlights, but I won't like sit down and watch the whole thing. That's surprising to some of them, but yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, it's not really so much for me. I'd rather watch other stuff, but soon enough, and really soon enough, because it's here, we don't have to do that anymore. We got basketball back on the TV. Right before we came on the air and we started recording, you had a great phrase, and I'm going to take it and give you credit. You said, I want to talk about observations in the bubble, thoughts in the bubble. I love it. And right now, the NBA bubble is looking pretty strong, given the latest test results release, that zero of, I believe it was 346, or right around that number, total players had tested positive upon that round of testing. So that's certainly encouraging. You've got a lot of key players back in camp with their teams who may have been diagnosed before but have thankfully since recovered. How do you feel about this bubble? Do you feel like this is going to work, or do you feel like this is set up for some sort of disaster like others feel?
I think it is going to work, just because the data on wearing masks alone is, and I wish more of the country would wear the masks, but yeah, the data on just wearing the masks alone is, it reduces your chances of catching COVID so much, whether it's a simple cloth mask or an actual like N95 official like face mask, medical face mask. So yeah, I think if they monitor the ins and outs correctly and the players sort of, you know, follow the directions and things like that, I don't see any reason why this wouldn't work.
You mean you can't be having Instagram models showing off their DMs talking about how they've already been invited to the bubble like we've seen? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, that's the reality of it. That, you know, you're always going to try to have people and or situations that try to poke the bubble and infiltrate the bubble. But so far, as usual, the NBA, and this is, you know, I think we've talked about this before, one of the reasons I like rooting for the NBA and, you know, watching the sport so much is I really feel like they are a thought leader in the professional sports field when it comes to showing how to lead and having the capacity to lead and really thinking through every scenario as best as they can. So I give credit to the NBA. So far, it's been a successful setup. And, you know, to my, I guess, not surprise, the only team that's really got decimated is the, I was going to say the New Jersey Nets, but that day, the Brooklyn Nets, because they look like a training camp team out there. And obviously the Washington Wizards without Bradley Beal, you know, it sounded like he was going to opt out anyway, but then he had the shoulder injury. So I don't think those two teams are going to go very far very quickly.
No, not at all.
But unlike those two teams, JC, the Lakers are set up to be what looks like a successful road ahead, despite the fact that the team is not going to have Rajon Rondo, despite the fact that the team is not going to have Avery Bradley. Well, although Rondo could come back in the I believe they were talking about maybe the second round of the postseason. That seems a little advantageous for me. I always feel like it's a little bit longer, but we shall see. But in the immediate future, you're not going to have Rondo. Avery Bradley obviously will not play for the remainder of the season. So I feel like the Lakers at this point, they've had no major changes to their team all season long. They should be pretty set up for success, despite still needing to integrate some of those new parts. Markieff Morris is still a new part, although he's been around for several months now. And obviously with Deion Waiters and officially J.R. Henny-Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I've seen in, I've watched a lot of players' Instagram videos and vlogs and things like that, and JaVale McGee's got a pretty good one that he posts almost daily. Yeah, JR and Deion seem to be fitting themselves into the team pretty well. I know Deion has sort of had, I don't know if he personally had issues with like playing with LeBron in Cleveland, but I know since then Deion's kind of been humbled a little bit, and so he can't kind of have that same attitude where he's thinking he's the same type of scorer shooter he was when he thought he was when he was in Cleveland. And so I think he'll fall in line a little bit more. And I've always said I believe in the influence of LeBron James and how positively he can impact guys like J.R. Smith, and Deion's another one of those guys.
Oh, no, of course, the LeBron factor is huge. And I don't think, you know, either of those guys, and certainly not both, would be in Lakers purple and gold if it weren't for LeBron's presence on the roster. But at the same time, I think what you said has value in terms of Deion and JR needing to fulfill very certain roles, because if they come in and they try to be those gunners that they might have played in the past, of course, Deion more recently than JR, then what's going to happen is they're going to find themselves sitting on the bench and guys like Alex Caruso, Danny Green, and KCP are going to be playing a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm still of the mindset, personally, that while Deion very well may move into the rotation, I still feel like J.R. Smith is more of an insurance policy at this point, just because despite not having Avery Bradley and Rondo available, you still have those three guys that I just talked about ahead of those. You still have Kuzma. You got to get him minutes. You still have Markieff Morris. Those are guys who should probably be playing over those two. So I'd be curious on your take on that. Do you think it's Deion who slides into the rotation, or do you think it's J.R.? And do you think there's room for both of these guys to be in the rotation on a regular basis?
I don't know about regular basis, but like I wouldn't be surprised if, even though he's the last signee, if JR does get more minutes than Deion, because I think he brings a lot more to the table defensively than Deion might.
I'm curious to see it, because the last time JR Smith played in an NBA game was almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm not saying it's impossible, I just feel like that's a long time to have that sort of layoff and come in and be an instant impact player, because especially on this team, as we were talking about before we got started, these games that the squad has ahead of them, not including the scrimmage games, which kick off on Thursday, but when you look at the rest of the regular season for the Lakers, it's the Clippers, it's the Raptors, it's the Jazz, it's the Thunder, it's the Rockets, it's the Pacers, it's the Nuggets, and then it's the Kings, if you want to call that a let-up game. So for me, while some other teams maybe thinking about this opportunity as a way to get sort of a tune-up or maybe even get some of their other players involved before the postseason begins. I know that the Bucks were a team that were kind of discussing how they were going to utilize this portion of the schedule. I think the Lakers got to come out with sort of, you know, pedal to the metal in order to prepare for a deep postseason run. Obviously, this team wants to go to the finals, right?
Yeah, it's I don't know if anyone truly knows what the Lakers' plan is going to be as far as the rotation, because I did watch one video that speculated that now might be a good time to see how kind of the three young guys, Kaycock, Antetokounmpo, and Horton Tucker, would kind of fit into the rotation, if at all. And yeah, I don't know if now's the time to try to fit those guys in when you've got veterans like Deion and JR and Markieff, who still kind of need to be, you know, implemented.
When the Lakers have had really good or great teams, and they're not, you know, unique in this particular sense, but when they've had these really good or great teams, it makes that player development sheet piece much more of a challenge. Now, obviously, the development of the G League, and you see that with a guy like Alex Caruso, obviously, amongst many other, not to mention Kaycock and Antetokounmpo, right? There is a support in place that didn't exist, you know, during the days of Shaq and Kobe running around, right? But at the same time, it's very hard to get these moments for these young players because while not all of them are deer in the headlights necessarily, but a lot of them, when they do get that opportunity on this level, they're playing tentatively. They're not necessarily playing freely because every time they make a mistake, and they will come, they're young players, right? Everybody makes mistakes anyway. But when they make a mistake, they're looking over their shoulder about, oh man, am I going to get pulled off the floor? That's not the same worry a veteran player or a star player has. And that's not a worry that JR or Deion are going to have just by nature, because that's sort of how they've always played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things the Lakers, you know, they're going to continue to be considerate of. But I'm curious what they can do. I mean, Kaycock is in particular is a prospect who really interests me. And Talen Horton-Tucker, I mean, from what I can tell, you know, Instagram observer, as all of us are, right? He seems to have really worked on his body quite a bit as well since his initial drafting.
Yeah. And I know JaVale's kind of sort of been mentioned how much time he's spending around Kostas under the Kumpo. And so, yeah, they're definitely trying to develop all these guys into some kind of regular rotation players.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it comes this season just because of what's on the line, but I do think, you know, they're interesting pieces, if nothing less, moving forward in terms of potential rotation pieces. So We'll see how it goes. And, you know, I think that the Lakers have to be happy, too. And, you know, I think this is perfect because we were just talking about JaVale. I think the Lakers have to be happy that Dwight Howard decided to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, his messages on Instagram and everything has been positive, and I've sort of liked the energy he's bringing and his motivation has been there all season. It seems like it's still there. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he's going to bring.
Yeah, definitely. I think Dwight's been very active on Instagram, not only sharing education about the past in terms of, you know, really aligning with the Black Lives Matter movement. So it's been nice to see that level of sincerity and, you know, commitment to education on his behalf and using his platform to spread that awareness. But additionally, he's been very active on Instagram Live. In fact, he's even had sessions where he's brought fans onto video, you know, to kind of not show them the bubble, but because we can all see that on the other side of his phone, but in order to interact with them. And, you know, I think it's good for these guys too. It gives them sort of in a weird way, right, this unprecedented level of access to the fan base. Despite not being able to connect in person, they now have the opportunity, should they desire to do so, to really interact with fans in such a way that, you know, may not happen during a quote-unquote regular season just because you get caught up in such the, you know, grind of everything. So I think that could be one potential positive that comes from all this. And, you know, I think we all look for those things in this challenging climate, right?
It's one of my biggest observations of the NBA bubble as a whole. Like, I've been obsessed with the NBA Twitter life, NBA bubble life Twitter account, but even today after watching the games, the NBA hadn't really showed off the arena design up until today when they sort of unveiled it, and everything seems to be revolved around the comfort of the players. Like, there's so much space on the sidelines and on the baselines to roam. There's no people there. There's no photographers there. It seems all about the player safety. The bench area is nice and wide. They've got enough room. It looks similar to like a hockey rink where the bench areas are sort of separate from everything else, and the players are spread out. Players are revealing a lot more of their personalities, whether it be like on Instagram or streaming Call of Duty on Twitch. Drew Holiday that mentioned, it is a little unfortunate we haven't seen LeBron IG live too much, because I think a lot of people are curious about like what his room looks like and what he's been doing. But I think Drew Holiday mentioned how he he was somewhere and he was in the same room as LeBron, and he sort of made mention how comfortable LeBron seemed, and he was like, he probably hasn't been that comfortable since the ninth grade. Like, there's no fans that are going to come up and bother him. He doesn't have to like put on an act. He's around other basketball players. Like, he can just be himself in this bubble. And that's, you know, that's a really interesting thought.
Yeah, because it's a very freeing one despite being in a contained environment, right? And so I think that's really a pertinent thing to bring up. And I think a lot of players, you know, might not, you know, they obviously don't subject themselves to the level of scrutiny or following that LeBron does, just because he's obviously a global brand and icon. But on top of that, you know, a lot of these players, they do have microphones in their face. They do have, you know, sort of these challenges on a day-to-day basis where they can't go out in public. And a lot of these guys, I mean, let's say for what it is, they're tall, right? So if you're 6'8", you're going to kind of attract attention or eyes in general just because you're a lot taller than everybody else. One of my best friends is 6'7". Every time we walk in together, you know, it's like little and big. So obviously everybody stares, right? I mean, he's got like a foot on me. So I think that for a lot of these guys to be on, you know, quote unquote, equal footing in terms of they don't have to deal with that inside this environment, I do think there's a freeing nature to that. And connected to that, right, we've seen some of these funny or alcohol-based, I should say, really, more specifically, videos emerge from the bubble, whether it's J.J. Redick, you know, in the little kiddie pool, or Myers Leonard shotgunning a beer and calling himself the champ, or, you know, even Josh Hart chugging wine straight out the bottle. And so, you know, I don't know what else you might have seen, but for me, I feel like, you know, it also helps fans in a weird way connect with these guys to know, oh man, you know, they're more similar to us than we think sometimes.
Yeah, like I've enjoyed watching those videos. I've enjoyed watching the guys like go fishing. That's been fun.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris has a funny like video series where he goes and like tries to spy on Boban and Luka, because he's bummed that they're not teammates anymore.
Oh, and, yeah, he's best friends with Boban.
Yeah, he sort of like spies on Boban and Luka, and he's like, look at him with his new best friend.
That's awesome. And I think stuff like that, you know, gives fans and everybody a window into the quote unquote personal lives of these guys that we wouldn't necessarily see because of other commitments, constraints, et cetera, in the normal setting. And so, you know, my question at this point is just going to be, when are we going to see J.R. Smith pull out the bottle of Henny on Instagram Live? But, you know, if the Lakers win the championship, I think everybody lets it slide, even though we call it a mistake. And you know what, JC? Thinking about mistakes, all right, I have a whole setup at home, right? When it comes to my bathroom, I'll take a lot of pride in this. And as a man who likes to shave his head, right, it's important for me to have a good pair of clippers. But, you know, I also have to have a second pair of clippers because you got to make sure everything is trimmed tight and ready to go. However, this one time, I forgot that I put my trimmers for the other part of my body into the space where I normally keep my head trimmers. And I was about halfway through my haircut when I realized what I was doing. And it was a nightmare, because not only did it leave some, you know, stuff that I didn't want to deal with, but just the psychological thought of it was too much for me to handle. And I realized, man, this is kind of rough on my head. Like, why am I using this on my junk? So that's when I started reading about what to use and how to use it. And that's where we come together. And that's why, for me, it's all about Manscaped now. Because Manscaped has this redesigned electric trimmer, man. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting that greatest hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you the Lawnmower, and I know it sounds a little overwhelming, but it's not, okay? This is a machine. It's a third generation trimmer that features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce the manscaping accidents thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. So when I tell you this is premium, I mean it's premium, JC. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave or you don't have to worry about charging it. So that's a nice little feature. The water-resistant technology allows you to groom yourself in the shower. That's a nice little plus. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. You know the missus is going to love that. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology, so it can be a secret. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you are listening to me speak the holy word right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. And you know how you do that? You get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. JC, this trimmer will change your life.
Yep, I believe it.
You know? And so if you can't believe me in that enthusiastic read, I felt like I was leading a sermon right there. You guys got to go check it out, man. It's good stuff. It'll leave your junk feeling smooth, all that good stuff. So manscaped.com, use the code HOOPBALL20. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's the code HOOPBALL20, all capitals on HOOPBALL. So good stuff there. And I feel like, you know, as the Lakers and the rest of the NBA are getting their real-life 2K barbershop popped up in the bubble, I do feel like some of them are going to want to take advantage of that offer themselves, JC. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, the Lakers and the rest of the league got the best of the best, and I'd be curious to see how it continues to go in the bubble. But like we've been talking about, I think it provides a certain level of levity to these guys, and I also think it provides a certain level of, you know, just opportunity for them to kind of kick back and sit back and be by themselves. I thought that was a really salient point. Okay, JC, I'm going to get on my Caruso stool here for just a second. Obviously, we talked about Rondo being out. We talked about Dion Waiters coming in, J.R. Smith coming in. KCP is still around. He's having a good year. Danny Green, obviously, was signed to play a key role. But for me, man, especially with Rondo out now, there is really no excuse for Alex Caruso not to play 25 to 28 minutes a game. Am I crazy?
No, not at all. I think everyone's well rested. I think everyone's sort of getting acclimated to possibly playing more minutes. And if you believe some of the rumors on the internet, LeBron was kind of holding secret practices with the whole team. And so I think they've got a little bit more of an edge on some than some other teams might have, because I think they've been playing together a little bit longer. So,
you know what one of the most impressive things is about LeBron is for the level of stature of celebrity that he is, he manages to keep his personal life extraordinarily personal. And yeah. I think that's a credit to him. I mean, I'm sure he's not alone in that effort in terms of securing the privacy and all of that. But I think that's a really important credit to him, because it allows him to live, not necessarily freely, but in a way that empowers him in the way that he wants to live. And I think that's important for any of these guys who live their lives on a public stage for a lot of us.
Yeah, like I think about him and sort of a similar meteoric rise in like Steph Curry. And even, like, in his wife, Ayesha Curry, how, like, she, people sort of observed how nice of a relationship they had. And she had some, you know, social skills in cooking and things like that. And so she kind of took it upon herself to sort of become a celebrity herself. And, like, yeah, like, we don't, and this is probably to Savannah's doing, but, like, we don't know very much about Savannah James. And, like, LeBron doesn't really show or tell us too much about her, and that's probably the way her and him both want it, and they've managed to like keep it that way.
I mean, they've been together since high school, man. It's really an incredible story. And that's just to touch on this tangent a little bit. This is what bothers me when people say, oh, I hate LeBron. I'm like, what is there to hate about him? He is the best player in basketball and has been for a decade. He is a leading global icon in this field of basketball and in the field of fashion and in the field of art and in the field of education. He's opened schools for underprivileged that has a food bank. All the kids get a bicycle. He married his high school sweetheart. They've got beautiful children together. I mean, everything this guy touches turns to gold, and he is a role model. And people want to sit here and say, he's not for me. I don't get that.
Yeah, the way people so easily dismiss him, especially in like the MJ LeBron debate, and it's like, oh, at worst, he's maybe the second best player of all time, if you don't think he's the greatest. And like, just because he's not the greatest, he's trash, but he's like number two out of all the players of all time. And I mean, and yeah, everything he does outside the court is just amazing. He's an amazing person.
I mean, it's ridiculous, man. And so I give nothing but celebratory congratulations to LeBron. In fact, you know, I can't remember if on the last episode I talked about how I got back into the trading card game at all. But, you know, I'm back into the trading card game. Long story short, I don't know if you saw the LeBron card that sold at auction, the record card. Did you see this?
Yeah, $1.8 million or something like that.
$1.8 million. You see LeBron's comment on that post on Instagram?
No.
LeBron goes, guess who's got a couple of those exact cards sitting at home? And so this dude, on top of everything else, has just got a cool, you know, 3.5-4 million or so sitting there. It's just amazing to me, man. I mean, it's a credit to him because he's built himself up to be a true brand. And I mean, that's, you know, I don't know if that's the American dream, but for some people that might be a part of it. So nothing but congratulations to him. And before we go any further on the LeBron, we love you tangent. Okay. I think that what we should be discussing is the Lakers play an actual game. And although it's not a game that counts, right, with air quotes around it, it is a game that counts because it'll be the first one that they play in, what, 4.5 months, something like that. So from that perspective, the Lakers have three upcoming scrimmages before the season kicks off once again. It's Dallas on Thursday, it's Orlando on Saturday, and it's Washington on Monday before the season restarts the following Thursday. So, JC, I know we were talking about before we started here that really of these three scrimmage games, the Mavericks are really the only game you can probably take anything away from just because you're not going to be expecting to play the Magic or the Wizards at any point moving forward. So what are you looking for, if anything, from this Lakers team? And it could be from the first game or, you know, any other, if it's just something team specific.
Yeah, I think I'm looking to see how Frank Vogel's going to use his rotations and, like, when he's going to insert some of the newer pieces. And yeah, like how many minutes Caruso's going to get or where he's going to get them. I think some of the observations I had from the games today is as to be expected. Like, there's a little bit of rust. I don't know how many minutes, like, LeBron's going to play. Like, today the Clippers played and Kawhi, he only scored 9 points. He played, pulling up here, how many minutes he played. He played, he played 19 minutes. And yeah. Paul George also played about 19 minutes. So, yeah, you're not looking for a lot of minutes from your big, like, Anthony Davis or LeBron. But, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of minutes from from Caruso. You'll probably see some minutes from JR to see how well or what kind of shape he's in as well as Deion.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the benefit that Deion has had is that he was with the Lakers just before, you know, everything hit the fan, so to speak. And, in fact, one of the last games the Lakers played at Staples Center this year was the game against the Bucks. I think it was the Friday night before, the week before the league was postponed indefinitely. And I was actually at that game because my neighbor – has been a season ticket holder since the Lakers moved here, and he's got 12 season seats. So we'll talk about that a different time. But he took me to the game, and one of the reasons that I went, despite knowing that there was, you know, some level of risk, right? I mean, obviously, because you had heard the reports up until this point, et cetera, I was like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get to go to a live sporting event is. And yeah. So, you know, I'm going to take this risk right now. Obviously, if you presented me with the same risk, you know, yesterday or today, I'm probably making a different decision, right? I mean, granted, you know, masks have come into play and all that, but I'm probably still making a different decision. So grateful to be able to see that one. But I think for the Lakers, you know, this is going to be a true test of focus, of grit, of balls, of desire. And I think for these newer pieces, you know, they're going to have to really sort of prove to not only themselves, but also to the guys around them that they're united around a common goal and they're not in it for selfish reasons, because this team has done a really good job of being selfless for the most part throughout the season prior.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
And I think, you know, like you said, JR and Deion can, at least in theory, come in and buy into those roles, especially under LeBron's tutelage. And I think the rest of the rotation, most of the guys have been around. Deion has had the benefit of, you know, working with Lakers, or I guess under the advisement of Lakers training staff, whereas JR is obviously now just coming into the mix. So I do think the Lakers will get some of those newer pieces in there, like you said, just to get a look at them. But I also think that they have to use these scrimmage games to really tune it up before the schedule begins. So, you know, obviously standing-wise, they're in a pretty decent position. But at the same time, you don't want to be going into the postseason riding that negative momentum, especially if you got to play a team like New Orleans, who might be creeping for that 8th spot in the first round.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot that I think a lot of teams are in because, yeah, you have to sort of see where your team's at rust-wise, and then you sort of have to see how different lineups are gelling. And I think you also have to factor in scouting reports from the season prior to the shutdown may not even be relevant anymore. Like Denver today had a healthy Bol Bol make his debut, and they ran a lineup – They ran a lineup where Jokic was a guard, Bol Bol was a small forward. I forgot who their center was, but they ran a lineup where their shortest player was 6'5". And then there was 6'7", 6'8", 7'2", and 7'1". And so, like, that's a really tough lineup to rebound. Yeah.
It's funny you brought that up, because I was actually going to ask you if there was a lineup, like sort of a lineup combination that you really haven't seen the Lakers utilize this season that you kind of want to see them with get funky before the game start. Because right here written down on my notepad, I have this lineup of LeBron, Kuzma, Markieff, JaVale, and Dwight that I would just love to see because it's so much size. Now, I don't think there's going to be enough spacing on the floor for that to be a reality, but I think that's just a lot of size, and I think it throws teams off when you say, hey, yeah, my point guard is LeBron and my shooting guard is a 6'10 Kuzma, so good luck, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the Lakers are in a position where they can go big like a team like Denver can, but I don't know if anyone can go quite as big as Denver went today, especially with Bol Bol playing pretty well.
Did Bol play small forward?
He did.
Oh, man, I saw that dunk that he had just real quick. That was nice. But I think, you know, it's gonna be interesting because did they play Millsap in that lineup or no?
I think they did a little bit.
Yeah, curious, man. That's a tough team.
That's a tough squad, sure.
Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lakers are there. There's no, you know, like I said, even with the eighth spot, there's no easy outs in the West. So I think the Lakers really need to prepare themselves not only mentally but physically, because I think they're gonna get not punked a little bit, but they're gonna get pushed around. Kind of like, you know, like the Pistons that used to try to do the Bulls and did successfully for a period of time. I think the Lakers are going to have some physical style of play, even despite the climate of COVID-19, because teams know, look, you're the favorite, you know?
Yeah. I think they're going to deal with a lot of teams sort of being extra physical. I think they'll have to deal with that.
And so I'm curious, you know, and the more that, you know, Frank Vogel can keep the team together, which is going to be a collective effort, not just from him, but also, you know, from LeBron, Anthony Davis, and the other leaders in the locker room, I think the more credit that, you know, should be probably given to him, because, you know, coaches always, the life of a coach or a general manager is usually such that if everybody knows your name, something's going wrong, and if nobody knows your name, things are usually going pretty well. Now, with the Lakers, that isn't necessarily true because, you know, you are the Lakers, but at the same time, Frank Vogel came into this job because Ty Lue basically didn't want it, and he was the third choice, right? He was the third choice going back to his initial hiring. So, you know, Monty Williams didn't want it, Ty Lue didn't want it, and the Lakers kind of just wound up with Frank Vogel. I'd say so far so good.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the players really respect him. JaVale posted a blog the other day where he sort of featured Frank Vogel, and so, yeah, I think the players are behind Vogel and like him, and I think LeBron's even spoken to the fact where he's being more patient with coaches and things like that. And so, yeah, I think he's sort of embraced what Vogel's bringing to the table.
This team has a definite level of maturation to it. They seem to have the intent to focus on a greater goal. And, you know, they obviously have the talent to get it done. So I'm incredibly excited that Lakers basketball is back. I'm incredibly excited the NBA is back as a whole. And I think this Lakers team, you know, for the first time in a while, we and all Laker fans, JC, can sit here and say this team has an actual legitimate chance of doing something versus, you know, teams in the past, especially in recent years, where you say, it'll be fun to watch the kids play and then we'll watch somebody else come play all the time. You know, I think if the Lakers fall short of the finals, I think it's considered a disappointment, right?
Yeah, I think there's realistically three teams that could win it: Milwaukee, the Clippers, and the Lakers. I think the next tier beyond that is you have like your Houston and your Denver. Beyond that, I don't really think there's anyone really.
Do you consider the Lakers making the NBA Finals? And we'll kind of finish with this. Do you consider the Lakers making the NBA Finals as a successful season regardless of the result? Or do they need to win the NBA Finals?
I think if they make it to the Finals and they're playing either Milwaukee or I guess the second best team might be Philadelphia, maybe Boston, I think they match up well. Yeah. I think they match up well with both of those teams, and so I think the challenge is getting to the finals. And once they do, I think they've got a pretty good chance at winning it.
Yeah, I don't think that Boston is one of my title favorites. But could you imagine a Lakers Boston title round bout in Orlando? How weird that would be.
Yeah, it's strange. It's one of my other observations in that none of the everything in the bubble has it's It seemed a little strange, yeah, but nothing has seemed like overtly weird or awkward. I don't think it'll seem weird or awkward until the championship happens and like you're used to celebrating with the big crowd and like hearing all the noise, and it's like you're just gonna see a bunch of dudes on the court celebrating like with themselves and like nobody else around or in the building. So that's gonna be a little awkward.
I feel like it'll be kind of like a TBT tournament, something like that, or an AAU tournament. I don't know. We'll see. No fans in the building, but obviously there'll still be noise, and, you know, you might even hear a little bit more of the action as a result. So, as a reminder, the Hoopball Lakers podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Lakers. You can follow the whole Hoopball family at Hoopball Tweets. Of course, we have plenty of other team shows from the Grizzlies, Kings, Nets, Rockets, Grizzlies. I said that already, but you name it, we got it. JC, anything else you want to add?
Nope, not that I can think of. I'm just excited to get back to watching basketball.
You follow him on Twitter at JCDeLeon1 for his basketball musings. You can follow me on Twitter for basketball and a whole lot else at Ethan_Noroff. Appreciate you guys listening. And the next time we talk to you, we'll have actual games to discuss. And until then, we out.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.